This sermon is presented by SoundDoctrine.net. That is SoundDoctrine.net. Sound Doctrine is a ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries. You can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons at SoundDoctrine.net for God's glory.
And what we believe is atonement is limited. And did Christ die to redeem every single person who was born, or did he come to redeem many? The many are the elect of God, that is his church. And limited atonement states that Christ's redeeming work was intended to save the elect, that is the church. He came to die for the church. And he secured salvation for the elect. Now if Christ died for every single person who have ever lived on the face of the earth, then they should not be, nobody will go to hell. Because Christ's blood should save them. If it was God's intention to save all, however, if all are not saved, then there is no value in his blood. But we know Christ's blood is extremely valuable. And we are going to go through a series on this limited atonement. And the subject is going to be on atonement. To whom did Christ die? We will first build a foundation and on these subjects, and we will go through a lot of scriptures. I have a lot of ground to cover, so maybe you may have to write it down or get the notes or get the tape. Chris will give the tape to ask for it free. And so we are also going to go through some objections to this, not today, to the topic that people say that Christ died for everybody. And we are going to take every single objection. We are going to be very fair and go through scriptures and really see everything in the light of the Bible. Then also we will learn subjects like ransom, propitiation, expiation, satisfaction, surety, testator, and mediator, reconciliation. Those are all very important subjects that involves with atonement. Now, of course, when we read the Bible, we come across these subjects like propitiation, and suddenly we read the word propitiation, it just goes over our head, and we read the balance. But I'll tell you, God put it there. The Holy Spirit put it there for us to understand. That's why we need to go through those subjects too. And I really encourage, if you miss one of the series on this subject, you are not going to see the fullness of the picture. If you miss, please get the tape. Now, limited atonement is really a continuation of unconditional election. As we saw in our previous studies, for election, there are no conditions. It is totally of grace alone. That is why it is called unconditional. We are saved according to God's sovereign grace without any condition. We saw that today. Even last time we saw in Ecclesiastes, even our labor, the work we do, even that is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Now, first of all, I want to show you is the covenant of redemption that is very important. And before I get into that, just ask a question. What is the purpose of Christ's death? Why did he come? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9, it says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. How many times Jesus said, I didn't come on my own, I came to do the will of the Father. Now, I'm going to go through the scriptures. Now, that's the purpose. That's the beginning of his ministry. The beginning, all right? Now, let's take a peek to the end and see what was the will. What was the Father's will in death of Christ? What was his will? The end you will see in John 17, verse 4. When Jesus said, the end of his ministry is, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Wow. That's the end. And then he says, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Here, he came and he completed God's will. He finished the work. Now, in the covenant of redemption, there was a covenant, and this covenant began in eternity. And we are going to see some scriptures. It's a mystery for us, but the mystery is revealed to the saints, to the church. And the covenant of redemption, Father, he chose a people. And he loved them. And he gave this people to his son. And God knew that these people, they are going to sin under Adam. But Christ promised to die for them. And the Holy Spirit came to regenerate them. You see, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all are involved here. Father made this covenant in the eternity past. And this is called the covenant of redemption or covenant of grace. Now we all deserve punishment for our sins. Instead of punishment, God showed mercy to the elect. If you turn with me to Psalm 89 verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Now there's a reason for us to sing the mercies of the Lord. Mercy is the opposite of judgment, right? We deserve judgment, but God was merciful to us. Now he goes on to say, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. In the old King James, it says here, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness that thou shalt establish in the very heavens. Then he goes on to say, I have made a covenant with my chosen. See, it was a covenant that was established in the very heavens, not on earth. I have sworn unto David my servant. Of course, David wasn't there. Jesus is also called the son of David, right? So it's talking here Jesus. Thy seed I establish forever. It's not David's physical seed, but it's a seed of Christ. And build up thy throne to all generations. Wow. Amazing. And verse 5 says, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the unbelievers. Right? No? Congregations of the saints. Now, first of all, the covenant was made Not with David, of course, we know it was made with Christ, who was called the Son of David. It is the seed of Christ that will be established forever. The seed of Christ, we are going to see, is going to be the church. This is the mystery of the salvation, that all heavens shall praise the wonders of God for his saints. It's a mystery. We didn't know. That's why Apostle Paul said, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32. Paul said, Paul said, this is a great mystery. What is a great mystery? I speak of concerning what? Christ and the church. It is a mystery. And what is a mystery? What do you mean by a mystery? Mystery is something that was hidden in the past, but now it is being revealed. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 verse 26, Colossians 1:26 says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, that means from the very beginning, it has been hidden, but now it is made manifest to his saints. Note, it is not manifested to the whole world. It is manifested only to the saints, to the elect. That is the church. And this is a mystery, that God made a covenant, that he chose a people, and he gave those people to Christ, and Christ was going to come to die for them. Now what is this mystery? I already told you. In Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We saw that before, right? Ephesians 1:4. And of course we know 2 Timothy 1:9, the grace was given to us when? Is it at the cross? No. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, grace was given to us before, through eternity past, before the foundation of the world. And we know in Acts, in reality, we see this happening in Acts 13:48, how people got saved, Gentiles got saved, and Apostle Paul said, they got saved because they were appointed, they were ordained by God to believe. A lot of scriptures. And so we see that all believers were chosen from eternity. I like that better than now. Because if I'm going to choose Christ now, I can't. Because I'm a sinner. It's impossible. I have no love to choose him. So Christ from eternity was chosen and appointed to be their redeemer. And he undertook the work of redeeming them, saving them. And Christ, we already saw, he loved them before the foundation of the world. He loved them. Then God, not only he loved them, God already had their names written in a book before you were born. Isn't that amazing? They had their names before they were born written in a book, and God already wrote in them. Revelations 21:27. It says here, but there shall be no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those are written in the Lamb's book of life. And why is it called that is why the book of life is called the Lamb's book of life. Because our names are written already. It's just like Christ, he bears the names of the believer on his chest. And on his heart, really. He bears the names of the believer on his heart. Just like in the Old Testament, the high priest of old, the priest had the tribes of Israel on his breastplate, and Christ had our names in his heart. Isn't that why Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost? And also, we were lost, right? And although our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we were lost in Adam. We are going to see that. And here, Christ also, he has the power to give eternal life to those that the Father has given them. John 17:2. You can turn with me to John 17:2. As you have given him authority over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So, Father has given this chosen people to Christ, and Christ gives him eternal life. Then goes through verse 9, and it says here, I pray for them. Who are them? The church, the saints, the elect. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. 11 verse 11 says, now I no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, they may be one as we are. All right. You can see the love of God. Amazing. It's a mystery. You don't understand. That's why it's amazing grace. It's all for the glory of God. Now, why was atonement necessary? I know we all sinned under Adam, and we all fell away from Adam. So why is it that atonement is necessary? I already gave the answer, because of sin. What is watching? Because of sin. The first Adam sinned, and he brought the curse and death and punishment to all. The first sin among all men was committed by Adam, right? And that first sin is the worst sin of all, because it is the fountain of sin among men. You understand? Are you with me? Okay, gotta think when I'm talking, okay? It is the fountain of sin. That's why it is the worst sin. If you turn with me to Romans 5:12 says here, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because who sinned? All sinned. So we cannot blame Adam here, because we were in Adam's loins. Because all sinned. Now, I'm going to categorize sin into three. The first sin is a transgression to the law. The second is, sin is disobedient to God's will. And the third is, sin is an offense to Holy God. And I'm going to show scriptures. Sin is defined as a transgression. What do you mean by transgression? The word transgression means to violating the law. If you turn with me to Romans, you are in Romans, go to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the what? Transgression of Adam, who is type of him who was to come. And here we see sin is a transgression. That means we all have violated the law of God. And sin is a transgression of the covenant. We are going to see that. God commanded Adam. He gave a commandment and said, but of this tree, but of the tree of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. But the day you are going to eat of it, you shall surely die. But Adam went and ate anyway. And we see that in 1 John, so he broke this commandment. He broke the covenant. So sin is breaking of the covenant or the commandment. Transgression of the law. You understand? Alright. Now go to 1 John 3:4. John 3:4. What does it say? It's very clear. It says, whosoever committed sin transgressed the law. For sin is what? Transgression of the law. You see that? The commandment that God gave to Adam was broken. Adam broke the commandment and transgressed the law. And that is a sin. And we sin with Adam at the same time. And that's why death came, the curse came. Because sin is transgression of the law. Now I'm going to show you that sin is disobedience to the will of God. Adam broke the covenant with God, and God commanded him not to eat from the fruit. He did it anyway, and he was obedient to the devil. And this is a heinous crime. Why? To break a covenant with man is a sin, isn't it? When I promise something and you don't do that, hey, you broke my promise, and that is a sin to sin against man. How much more to God when God gives a covenant, when God gives a commandment? And sin is disobedient to the will of God. And go back to Romans 5:19. Show you just the top portion to clear my point. And it says here, Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So sin is what? Disobedience. Now, the third I want to show you is sin is an offense made to God. It's an offense that made to God. Now, you're going to say, a lot of times you say, oh, Adam ate the fruit and he fell and he sinned, okay? We see that little small teeny bit little picture, but it's more than that. Okay, if he did that, then why did Christ have to come and suffer and be crucified and die? Sin is an offense that was made to God. Romans 5:17. Offense. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. You see that? Then go to verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. How great sin is now. Sin is heinous. It's a crime against God. Sin caused death and judgment. And that we were all under the wrath of God, including the elect. Now, we saw in Psalm 89:2, we saw how God made a covenant, but still we saw how even the elect under Adam, we fell. And we were blinded by the enemy. We were slaves to Satan. But I'll tell you, where do you see the dawning of the gospel? Where do you see how God gave a promise? The Messiah is going to come. Go to Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity. What do you mean by enmity? Hatred. You're going to be hostile. Enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the dawning of the gospel, the good news. There is no good news without the bad news. Right? What was the bad news? Bad news is that all deserve the wrath of God. When man sinned, we are all under condemnation. Everyone is under judgment. But here, God gives the good news. A bright light is going to come. The good news was promised to man. Out of the woman would come the holy, righteous seed of Christ. That is a holy, righteous seed of God. That is Christ. And out of the devil would come the wicked seed. There are two seeds here. Two seeds talks about two lines of people, two generations coming here. Christ's seed and the devil's seed. They will have enmity with each other. No wonder the Christians are persecuted by the world. They don't like it. They are hatred. Christ will bruise the head of the devil, and the devil will bruise the heel of Christ. The devil, he had his glory and splendor when he crucified Christ on the cross, when he bruised him, but Christ conquered the power of the devil on the cross. Christ came to conquer the devil's power. Now, see the seed, right? You see the seed of Christ that's going to come. We see this in Genesis 3:15. And now, we are going to see how this is connected to Christ, if you turn with me to Isaiah 53:10. How we saw in Genesis 3:15, how the enemy is going to bruise his heel, right? And look, Isaiah 53:10. And it says here, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who is him here? Jesus. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see what? His seed. Where did we see the seed? In Genesis 3:15, right? His seed shall prolong his days. That means the generation of Christ that is going to come. Then he says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he goes on to say, verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many. See? That means many, their sins are going to be pardoned. It doesn't say the whole world is going to be justified. Only many. A limited number of people. For he shall bear their iniquities. Who is their iniquities means? The church. Therefore, I will divide him a portion and the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. So he didn't bear sin for all. It doesn't say he bore sin for all, right? He bore sin for many. See those words? Those are very important to see. Now Christ came, when Christ came, he came to save his people, where the Father has already given him before the foundation of the world. Okay? Father chose a people, gave to Christ. We saw those people were under the wrath of God. When Christ came, he came to save those people. Alright? Turn with me to Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. Read it very carefully. And it says here, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It does not say that Christ came to save all people. Does not say that. But his people, that means he knew them before. Okay? His people. His people means some people might say, well, who are his people? Where was Christ born? Jerusalem, Nazareth. Who are his people? The Jews? Well, did Christ come to save only the Jews? No. So his people are not Jews here. He came to save his people. That means you can also say, if Christ came to save his people, that means Christ came to die for his people, isn't it? So Christ came to die for his people, and this people is a special people group. This is the spiritual seed that came from Abraham. The church. So the work of salvation is limited only to his people, to the church. Peculiar people. They are a royal priesthood. They are a holy nation. If they are a royal priesthood, that means our line of the family tree, it began in heaven. Because if we are a royal priesthood, if we are a holy nation, and if we are peculiar people, that means we are different than the world, right? And our family tree, it's really start from heaven. We are going to see this. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. That means you're peculiar, royal, you're different than the world. Peculiar, we have a peculiar pedigree, different from the rest of the world. We did not really come from an earthly family tree. We came from a different line of ancestors. Turn with me to Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. Easy to find. The book of the genealogy of, who is the first person there? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You can see the family tree going all the way down. Who is at the very beginning? With Jesus Christ. Our family tree, it goes all the way to heaven. It starts in heaven. That's why we are called a holy nation, peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Isn't that amazing? And a royal generation, that means we descended from God. A godly generation. If you turn with me to Psalm 22:30, this, it says here, a seed shall serve him. I don't know what your Bible says. It says here, a seed shall serve him. And we came from the seed of Christ. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. See that? Amazing. And you can see these peculiar people, we are a heavenly generation. Therefore, the church, really, our family tree, you can look back to heavens. It's not from the earth. Genesis 6:2 says, if you turn with me to Genesis 6:2 says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. The sons of God, here, the sons of God are the children of the church. They are God's children. And these God's children came from the line of Seth. Okay. They came from the line of Seth. If you turn with me to Luke 3:38. You are wonder why Chris read all those people's names. You see, we are going to see where we came from. Luke 3:38 says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And here we see the godly line came from Seth. You know, how many people spend today so much money, so much time to look for their family ancestors? I'll tell you. They use so much time, money, and looking for their family ancestors. Me, if you want to see your family ancestors, go to the Bible. It's there. You came from that lineage. You came from the lineage of Jesus Christ. He is the seed. And we all come from that spiritual seed. Go to the Bible. It's there. And you came from that lineage. That's why you're a holy nation. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And afterwards, you know, out of Haran, Abraham came from the calling of God. And all God's people, they are children of Abraham. God promised Abraham that his seed should be as the stars of heaven. When I say all God's children, his spiritual seed, okay? His seed shall be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. It's meaning primarily that his generation that's going to come through Abraham, the spiritual seed, not the fleshly side, the Jews, who say, we are Abraham's children. No. Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, you will do what I command you to do. Your father is of the devil, Jesus said. So, those are the seed of Abraham. John the Baptist said, God is able of the stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Those are the seed of Abraham. We are taught in the New Testament that if you are a true elect and if you are a true believer, you are of Abraham's seed. Turn with me to Galatians 3:29. Trying to show you is all the way from heaven, okay, when God made that covenant all the way from heaven, and we see in Genesis 3:15 the seed. Isaiah, we saw 53:10, the seed, alright? How this seed came all the way through. Alright? And Galatians 3:29, what does it say? And if you be in Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Wow. So go to Matthew and see the family line. And you can be Abraham's seed too. God's people are immediately begotten of God. Although they are born to the world, we are born again. When you are born again, you have a new nature, have a new life, you have a new family tree. As they are born of God. You are not born of this earth. You are really, truly, spiritually, you are born of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Turn with me and see. Many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believes on his name, which were born not of blood, that means not through our families, not our parents, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, okay, nor of the will of man, but born of what? Of God. Wow. That's why I like Matthew. You can see the family tree coming all the way down. Jesus Christ, number one, then came all the way through. Then I like Luke. It goes back, all the way back to Seth. It's really neat. So the believers, we belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus way before. The devil came and snatched us into darkness, blinded us, and we became slaves to him. And we didn't know Jesus, didn't we? Of course not. We were doing our own thing, sinning in the world, having all the pleasures of the world, and we were going on our own way. Then when we heard the word of God, God called us, He snatched you. And that's why Jesus said He came to seek and to save which was lost. I'll tell you. In John chapter 10 verse 14, if you see John 10:14, Jesus said, 10:14, He says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by own. Then He says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And He says here, I know my sheep. I'll tell you, when He says that, I'll tell you, but if my daughter, alright, let's see, for example, my daughter, if somebody snatched my daughter and takes my daughter to another country or wherever, and I will go looking for her, and I will say, this is my daughter. And there will be other girls like her. And I say, I know her. This is mine. I came to seek that was lost. That's the way. When you say no, that means you know you. You understand what I'm saying? And He knew before. He knows His sheep. And He came to die for them. He did not die for the goats. He died only for the sheep. So Christ's death is limited only to the sheep. And that is His church. Look verse 26. 10:26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. See that? You are not of my sheep. And I said to you, then verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I tell you, if you're a true Christian, here's the point. It's easy to say, well, I'm elected. I'm born of God, I'm elected, and now I can do anything I want to, because my name is written in heaven. I'll tell you, it says here, my sheep, they will hear my voice and they will follow Him. Just because you are elected, if you are truly elected, you will walk according to the word of God. You will not continue in sin. There will be a change in your life. John 10:26, it says that you are not of my sheep. So limited atonement is sometimes limited atonement is also called particular election. You know why? Have you ever thought why it is called particular? That means come into more detail. It's more personal, isn't it? Particular person, isn't it? God knows the true elected persons individually by name. Through eternity, He singled out, distinctly chose those who are His. And He set His love upon them. Only to the true believer, God can say, He can say He loves you. Only to the true believer, He can say He loves you. But where does it in the Bible that says that Jesus loves you? He loves you. Turn with me to Galatians 2:20. I'm sorry. You guys are awake? Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Of course, you had to be a believer. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. That means, I'll tell you, no unbeliever can say this scripture. Because no unbeliever can say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. No unbeliever can say this. It's to the only the true elect Christian. You can say only to the true saint that you can be said that God loves me. He loved you who loved me and gave himself for me. People might say, what about John 3:16? Hey, we are going to get into that. We are going to really get into that and see the fullness of John 3:16. So God set his love from eternity upon the particular individuals and mentions by name. God wrote their names in the book of life. Because Jesus said in Luke 10:20, he said, if you turn me to Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow. Amazing, huh? He loves you, and your name is written in heaven. Revelation 13:8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means before the foundation of the world, your name has been written. Now, of course, there's a difference between the sheep and the goats. There, in the church, there will be sheep and the goats. There will be. There is not going to be a pure church that everybody is going to be Christian. That means everybody, a lot of people will call themselves Christians. They will say, I'm a Christian. Why? I go to church. Why? I have a Bible. Why? Because I read the Bible sometimes, pray, I know some scriptures, and so a lot of people will say, I'm a Christian. But you see, there are a lot of times you will see, I have seen some encyclopedia of the sheep and the goat, sometimes they look alike. But on that day, Matthew 25:33, Jesus said, Matthew 25:33, God knows who is the sheep. God knows who is the goat. Matthew 25:33, he said, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall say the king, say unto them on the right hand, come you, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom of God. That is to the sheep. But the goats will go to eternal punishment. There will be gnashing of teeth. Hell forever and ever and ever. But of course, God knows his sheep. We saw in John 10, right? That he knows the sheep. And I'll tell you, if God knows the sheep, that means he intimately knows them. That means Jesus loves them. He intimately knows them. He doesn't know the wicked. That means he's the word know, we saw this in our previous studies, that means he is not intimate with them. Okay? For instance, if I see somebody, of course, I know some people at work, and I know them. Doesn't mean I'm intimately knowing them. But I know my wife, because I know her, because I'm intimate with her. I know my children. But I know some people at work, and where I work, and different other people. I know them. But it doesn't mean I really know them intimately. You understand? So, that's why, if you turn to Matthew 7:22, you say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out the devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. depart from me, you that work of iniquity. Jesus said, I never knew you. I don't see your name here in the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't know. Now that's very scary. I'll tell you, the elect, the true saint of God, and if we see, if we think my family line is really, is from heaven, it comes from Jesus Christ, then I'll tell you, your mind should be in heaven. Your thoughts should be in heaven. That means you're looking for heaven. That means your mind, your focus is not on this earth. Your focus is on heaven. Because if you think that God loved you before the foundation of the world, and throughout eternity God made this covenant, and you're from the seed of Abraham all the way through coming, and Christ came and died for you, and he came from heaven, and you're born of God, then your mind should be in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, 1-6. Colossians 3, 1 says, chapter 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on earth, for fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of who? Sons of disobedience. That means, if you are going to go according to your flesh, according to what your flesh needs, according to your whole thoughts and everything is focused on this earth, and if you are continually sinning and you are not being changed by the power of God, then you and Christ did not come and die for you. Because you are continually, but if you believe that, you know what? I deserve the wrath of God. You have a fear of God. And you hate sin. And you know what Christ did for you. And you struggle in your sin. Sometimes you fall. When you fall, you get really, truly convicted. And you cry. And you beat your chest with your hands and say, God, I sinned against you. Please forgive me. And you are convicted of your sins, and you will get up, and you want to get into the world, and you will labor diligently in the world, and your mind is focused not on this earthly thing, but on heavenly things, and you are going in the narrow road. Christ died for you. I got to tell the truth. I cannot compromise. I cannot give a nice message that makes everybody happy. But I had to tell the truth. And 1 John 2:15, I think this is one of the things that is in the church today. I have got to get into this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, what does it say? The love of the Father is not in him. See, that means God doesn't love you. That's what he says. But you can see how the unbelievers, huh? On Sunday they are excited on TV, you know. What makes you more excited? Is it the Word of God or your favorite TV program? When you get into the TV, wow, you're all glued up and this and that. You get to the Word of God, not interested. Christ, he came and hung up on the cross, and he bled to death, and he was crucified on the cross. This is the Son of God. And he paid the price for you.
And if you truly believe in that, John said in the book of John, 1 John, he said, if you believe in Christ, you will walk as Christ walked. That means you're going to imitate Him. You're going to walk in His footsteps. You're going to take the Word of God seriously into your heart. And Christ came. And then we can say, Christ came and I know He died for me. Because He loved me. Not that I loved Him first. He loved me first. First. Because He loved me first, now I can love Him. How can you love Christ? It's not because of your sacrifices, what you do. God says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's your walk. I'll tell you, there's so much pressure in this world. It's so easy for the Christians to compromise and get into the world. But if you're a peculiar people, you're a holy nation. Holy means what? Separated from the world. We are cut out, separated from the world. A royal priesthood. Your thoughts will be in heaven, not on this earth. I'm talking to the children too. You should hear this, children. You should make a division. You get a lot of peer pressure at school. Your friends will say, come on, do it. You know, everybody is doing it. I'll tell you. Whom do you love? Your friends or Jesus? You've got to make a line. You've got to make a decision. They will persecute you. But I'll tell you, Jesus said they will persecute you because they persecuted me first. It is better for you to go to heaven rather than to compromise with your friends than go to hell. Because this life is very short. You don't know what time you will die. Let's pray.